We have heard so often this expression, the good shepherd. I'm sorry to ruin it for you, but it's a bad translation. I went to check again today to make sure. I have a little book that I saw today. I bought in 1988, the Nestle Aland. It's the Greek and Latin translation of the New Testament. And it reads, and I quote, "Ego eimi, opoimen, o kalos." I am the beautiful shepherd. O kalos. I am the beautiful shepherd, Jesus says. What does it mean? Well, I actually like this translation much better. Because, you see, we are drawn to Jesus. There is an element of attraction that brings us to him. He's beautiful. He's fascinating. He's captivating. The opposite, instead, is the God of the Pharisees, who was quite honestly ugly. He was unforgiving, strict, a severe judge. No one wants to follow that kind of God. But Jesus says, I draw you to myself. You see, I think that our faith should be a matter of being drawn, not being driven. Oftentimes we are driven, but in the matters of faith, we should be drawn. Feel that magnetism that attracts us, that calls us close. It's what Pope Francis and many theologians call the via pulchritudinis, the way of beauty. We search for God more because he's beautiful than because he's good. We are attracted by him. And Jesus says, I am the beautiful shepherd. What is attractive in him? He says, I lay down my life. I'm not like a mercenary, a hired man, who is in it, who's only asking, what's in it for me? No, he lays down his life. He does not look for anything for himself. He only cares for us. I find this very attractive, very beautiful. The fact that the good, beautiful shepherd only cares about us. And he says, I know my sheep. Now, let me tell you something. That verb, know, to know in biblical context, is a much deeper verb than in English. To us, knowledge is a matter of the brain, of the mind. But in biblical sensitivity, it's a matter of the heart. And even more so, let me just quote the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. So you know what knowing means in the Bible. It's that intimate knowledge. You know someone only when you love them. We do the opposite. We need first to know someone, then eventually we love that person. But in biblical perspective, you cannot know someone unless you first love them. He knows us. And he calls us by name. How beautiful this is. If I see you and I call you by name, you know that there is immediate, instant familiarity and friendship among us. But if I don't know you, I say, hey, hi you, how are you? Right? Knowing someone by name takes them out of the anonymity, which means literally having no name. He calls us by name. We are not a number. In today's society, everything is about your social security number. Not with God. He calls you by name. And we call him by name. And we have a beautiful example in today's first reading. Peter and John call down the name of the Lord Jesus and heal a crippled man. And they say, it is in the name of Jesus that this man has been saved. We know him by name. And he calls us also by a new name, gives us a new name. In today's second reading, we heard we are called children of God. And this is who we are. He calls us my child, my children. What does he do for us? What does the good, the beautiful shepherd do for us? It's clearly said in the beautiful song of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. What does the beautiful shepherd do? He leads us to be fed, to be nourished, to satisfy our longings. And that's what the Eucharist is all about. We eat a piece of bread, consecrated, drink a little bit of wine, but that satisfies our deeper hunger and thirst. And you today, children, for the first time, you will have this great joy of eating a piece of unleavened bread, very simple, maybe drinking a sip of wine, very sweet. And in that, you will meet the beautiful shepherd. Maybe not everyone knows that about 49 years ago, when Apollo 11 landed on the surface of the moon by the Sea of Tranquility, the first food consumed on the face of the moon was communion. Did you know that? We know that Neil Armstrong was the first man to step on the surface of the moon. That we know, but Buzz Aldrin, who at that time was an elder in his Presbyterian church, had brought with him the elements of communion, a consecrated wafer and a little bit of wine. He said so in an article he published in the Guidepost magazine a few months later. He was prohibited from saying this on the radio for fear of angering those who are always against religion. But he said, he wrote actually, that once they landed on the moon, before he stepped out, he said these words: "This is the pilot of the lunar module. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and give thanks in his or her own way." Then he turned off the radio communication, and there, 250,000 miles away from home, he read a verse of the Gospel of John, and then took out the little plastic container he had brought up and consumed Holy Communion. That was the very first food and drink consumed on the face of the moon. We are privileged here to have that food every day, every time we come for Mass. And as I said at the beginning of Mass, we call it Holy Communion. But, you know, to make it a communion, we need to be open to a dialogue, to an embrace. That's when communion becomes real. As you receive today the consecrated host, as you drink a sip from the chalice, be willing to enter into communion. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. He will talk to you, not to your ears, but to your heart. What will he say? He will say, "I lay down my life for you. I'm ready to die for you over and over and over again because I love you." He might want to hear your voice at that moment. What will you tell him? Prepare what you're going to say to the Lord today as you receive him in Holy Communion. He wants to hear you. And believe me, he will recognize your voice. Just like we recognize his when he talks to us in our heart, he will recognize your voice. He will lead you to pastures, green pastures, to tranquil waters. He will feed your soul. Be ready for that moment of great joy, of great love. And all of us who accompany these children today, we might have grown used to communion. Sometimes we approach Holy Communion, you know, with a sense of routine, been there, done that. It shouldn't be so. Every time it should be an encounter. It should be a moment of holy communion with the Lord. Open to allow the Lord to speak to us so that we may hear and acknowledge and recognize His voice, and that He may hear and recognize our voice. And be caught up by the beauty of that love. He is the beautiful shepherd. We will be saved by beauty. The world will be saved by beauty. This is what Dostoevsky once wrote. And it's this beauty of the shepherd that gives his life, laid down his life for us. This it will save us and draws us out of anonymity and gives us a new name. You are now the children of God. Amen.